This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to This Morning, Brandon. Thank you for staying with us. Today at 8.45, we'll talk to Thomas Rookmarker of Fitch about their recent downgrade of Malaysia's ratings. But in the meantime, para, because the Sultan of Para, Sultan Nazrin, has accepted the resignation of Menteri Besar Dato' Sri Ahmad Faizal Azumu from the post, as well as that of the whole state exco lineup. There's been a shake-up in the state government leadership that was orchestrated by UMNO members of the state who have been said to be unhappy with Faizal and Bersatu in general.
Now, this political crisis was triggered after Faizal failed to garner major support in a vote of confidence at the State Legislative Assembly sitting on Friday. However, it is unclear whether UMNO has the numbers to form the next state government. Now, the party has 25 state seats. 30 seats are needed to form a state government. Bersatu, which has 5 seats, is stung over the move to remove Faizal, while PAS, which has 3 seats, has said it would not join in efforts to form the next state government. So if UMNO can't secure enough support from its own members and PAS, will it have to reach across the aisle to cobble support from Pakatan Harapan?
And how will this political turmoil pan out? So to expand on this, we've got on the line with us Dr. Hamidan Hamid, the research fellow at the Ilam Centre, on the line with us. Now, Doc, thank you for talking to us. Is it accurate to conclude that UMNO's efforts on Friday to effectively depose the Perak Menteri Besar may be a warning shot towards PM Tan Sri Muhyiddin? And are we seeing growing discontent from UMNO towards Bersatu?
Obviously. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I think it is a move against Bersatu at a federal level, and also a move against leadership of Tan Sri Muhyiddin at a federal level. If you see, I don't think what's happened in Perak is an isolated case in terms of Malaysian political development lately. Especially, I just want to look at, especially on the issues of budget tabling, that what's happening, and then the coming of the votes. All this must be looked within the context of what's happened of in Perak from last Friday. I think it is, even though some of the arguments say that just the removal of Faizal Azumu is only for to remove him, but I think it's very much clear it is very much UMNO discontent with Bersatu, not only in Perak, but also I think in the federal level.
And Dr. Hamidin, what are the issues then that UMNO is unhappy about? Because from the speech Tunku Zafro made, he did make some of the concessions with regards to the budget that UMNO had wanted.
I think it is not very much about policy and others. I think this is the problem is very much, in my point of view, UMNO and its ambition. UMNO still believe that they are the biggest party in the parliament, and also even in the case of Perak, because they see a number. So they believe that because of that, they still have the biggest chunk of the cake, especially in terms of resources and administration of the state, and also at the federal level. So the way I see it is very much about UMNO and its ambition, especially the grassroots level leadership who want to have a bigger say and bigger power in representing the state and in the country.
How do you think, Dr. Hamidin, the grassroots will feel about this rumour and speculation that Perak UMNO is moving towards working with Amanah, PKR and even DAP to form a new state government? What do you think about that? And are there any legs to this possibility?
Yeah, I think this is interesting. So far, when we do our observations, especially in Perak and not in Perak, but also throughout the country, I think the grassroots is very much confused what is happening. Some already indicated that what's happened to UMNO, because they had a clear policy, which is endorsed by their MKT, saying there's no DAP, no PKR to form any government. So, but suddenly what's happened in Perak now, they are opening the door and some negotiation is taking place. And in fact, there is some indication coming from PH parties like PKR, Amanah and also DAP that indicate they are more than happy to work and form a government in Perak. So this is very much a big question for the people, especially for the hardcore of UMNO, who always rejected DAP or PKR. So I think it will be becoming more interesting. So I think the one that will pressure UMNO more is not about from the Muafakat National Parties, but I think the pressure for UMNO where it's heading is very much from their internal support.
And does this then suggest that political coalitions today are very fluid? Is this the start of the most unlikely of partnerships going forward?
I think I keep saying here, even in BFM, that Malaysian dynamic is, I think, very fluid now. I think that's a relative part of it. I think, yes, we are looking for the new alignment. So far, until this morning, is a very clear indication that PAS will not be joining. So I think with PAS not joining the government in Perak, definitely Bersatu will not be there. So in that case, the only way for UMNO to form a government is only to work with PH government. So to what extent that collaborations and cooperations will be cemented, I think that will be the question mark for the next couple of days. It is important to remember that Perak State Assembly, the tabling of the budget of the state, it can only be proceed if Menteri Besar is appointed. I think, and they have another 48 hours to do that before the assemble of the assembly.
And if we look at it from a DAP perspective, do you see them getting enough internal support to actually work with UMNO, which is, of course, has been their political rival since, I guess, since the 1960s, 1950s?
Yeah, I think this is interesting. I think if Perak developments change the discourse, especially in the cooperation between UMNO and DAP, definitely will open up a new chapter in Malaysian political history. But at the same time, I think, as similar to UMNO, I think the pressure for DAP is very much from their own rank. Even if you notice, some of the members of the DUN already showing their dissatisfaction not to work with UMNO. I think this will be a very much a big question. Even though Ngai is making a statement as the chairman of Perak DAP, saying that they will cooperate, but they will not take any positions in the government. And at the same time, they want to ensure that the new government will be very much based on justice, multiracials, and others. But I think during the according to the history between the two parties, I think it will be very difficult to get a good negotiation term between the two.
And Doc, do you see what's happening in Perak as a state-specific issue, or do you think there's a more broader context here, especially since what we saw in Sabah and now Perak, in the broader context of GE15 and how the whole landscape might pan out?
I think what happened in Perak is definitely it's not an isolation case. I think it is reflection of what's happened in the national level. I remember, I think we keep saying that the rhetoric of the Malay unity that been proposed by PAS and UMNO before is just a rhetoric. When it comes to the real politics, that this what's happening in Perak now. What I term is a reality bites for the politicians. So this is, in my point of view, this new alignment, new development definitely will strongly influence any future developments. The fluidity of the matters, I think, is still on, especially on the new alignment between parties leading to the PRU 15.
And we look at Perak, right? Three names have been shortlisted by Perak UMNO leaders to be nominated as the new state Menteri Besar. Who do you think might actually get the job at the end of the day? Or is it too early to tell now?
I think the most favourite definitely Dato Sarani, because he is the chairman of the Perak UMNO, and also I think his name has been touted, even though some say argue that Perak very much in favour of Zamrikade to lead back Perak, the former Menteri Besar. But I do believe Sarani will get the MP post. Even when we, Ilham, when we do research during the SLIM election by election, we noticed that Sarani name has been popped up by the UMNO leadership to lead Perak.
And very quickly, Dr. Hamidin, will we see more states to follow after what happened in Perak? Who's next?
Yeah, I'm not surprised if other states will follow. Definitely Malacca is one of the things that even Johor, I think interesting, some measure were taken by the Menteri Besar of Johor to reduce the tensions, I think, in Johor. Sabah, don't be surprised if Sabah will go back to a drawing board, in my point of view. It is. I think it depends on what's the outcome of Perak and how it will affect the national policy, especially. Don't forget, as I said, the voting of budget is still on there. So that is one of the biggest, in my point of view, negotiations between the parties in regard to what's happening in Perak.
Okay, thanks, Doc. Thanks so much for your time. That was Dr. Hamidin Hamid, a research fellow at the Ilam Centre. Now, what he says is very interesting because it might not end at Perak. And I think there's a broader context to Pro 15 as well, G15. And, you know, horror of horrors, you know, that unholy alliance between UMNO and DAP, whichever, if it happens, combined have over 80 seats in parliament. That would make them the most influential bloc in the government.
But as we know, politics is extremely fluid, right? One day you're my friend and one day you're my enemy and next day you're back to being my friend. So who knows, right? We'll have to really watch this space very carefully. But I think it's what, like you say, Chuang, what's going to be interesting is, do you see other states following suit? So he did mention, Dr. Hamidin, Malacca, Johor, and maybe even Sabah, because the party which has the most seats is not the one running the state. It's not the chief minister.
No, you did also say Johor, which is the home state of the current prime minister. Okay, 7:56 in the morning right now. We've got on the line, we've got some of the Mercedes Rock Break with Teenage Kicks by The Undertones, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.